Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerluxe's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerluxe partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxevip.com. Daughter of an inventor, Karen Hibbert left her childhood in the country for a career in science in London. There she stayed to raise three children and forge a formidable career in medicine until in 2002 she left to buy a manor house in the village of Southrop. Quickly realising the manor had to pay for itself, Time was born. Described as a grown-up elegant hotel all about English country life, Time is now not just hotel rooms, but a cookery school, destination spa, and even a village pub. In fact, it's a way of life. After a 15-year renovation, Karen has realised her dream of creating a village within a village, establishing the ultra-luxury, quintessential Cotswold retreat. Karen, welcome to your Sheerluxe success story.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with your medical career.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. You had three children. You were living in London. How did you get into medicine and why the change?
Oh, well, I went into medicine because, as you said, I come from a scientific family. And in actual fact, my father was involved in the very early development of instrumentation to measure blood pressure. And I used to get involved with that when I came home from school. We set up a little company, which was called Lilcroft Limited, which manufactured the domes to go on the very, very first blood pressure transducers. And I ended up liaising with the professor of physics at Nottingham University, who was also involved with really this pioneering new form of pressure measurement. And that's really what got me interested in doing medicine. So I went in through a sort of sideways route because we were very much influenced by maths and physics at home, because that's where the pressure measurement came in. But I liked the people side of it, which is why I went into medicine. Yeah.
And how long was your career in medicine?
Well, I worked until my sort of mid-30s, really, in medicine. I had all children while I was working, trained at Nottingham. And then I worked with a great female surgeon called Anne Jequier, who was a consultant at Nottingham. And she had trained at the Royal Free, which also specialised in women in medicine. And I went from Nottingham to work in London at the Royal Free. And that's when I then started to do the London circuit, worked at Queen Charlotte's and developed my career in obs and gynae.
And had you always wanted a career?
I'm quite driven, and if I start something, I want to finish it. So I want to do things properly. I mean, life is a journey. I mean, you can start out with an idea, but as you get to know it better, you maybe finesse it and move in different directions. So the thing that I enjoyed about medicine more than anything else actually was the people. I mean, medicine is interesting because it's a combination of science, but also it is an art as well. To be a good doctor, I think you need to be able to feel things and get that extra sixth sense to come to the right diagnosis.
So, doctor to hotelier, what happened? Where did this come from?
I had three children, and also my husband had a very sort of full-on career. And to be honest with you, I like being a mummy as well. So we had three children quite closely together. And I just found that there was nobody really being a homemaker. And I wanted to be a homemaker and I wanted the children to have a lovely family life. And so I found that, you know, that I didn't have a lot of backup at work. I'd become quite specialised in what I did. And, you know, if one of the children was ill, I couldn't really afford to say, I'm not going to go into work today, because I would be letting people down. And I just thought, I'm going to stop and my priority needs to be my family and the children. So I stepped off from my medical career and thought I would go back. But to be honest with you, I felt completely liberated because, you know, you don't have to get up and be into work. And I enjoyed being at home, and we had a building project in London as well. And actually, I also got involved with a charity called CHASE, Children's Hospice Association. And it was the first children's hospice, really. And I began to fundraise for that. We started with little things, but actually we eventually started to do some quite big events which involved fashion and food. I realised there was a lot of interesting things out there that I hadn't been involved with before and I enjoyed. So that's the sort of thing that gave me a taste for, I suppose, hospitality.
And so Southrop Manor came on your radar. You were looking for it.
I wanted to bring the children up in the country and I always wanted to move out. I love London too, but I did want the children to have a country upbringing. We couldn't agree where to go because we could sort of go anywhere. I mean, my family live in Leicestershire. I loved Norfolk. Jerry grew up in Oxford. And I just one day looked in Country Life and there were about three nice houses. And I said, well, we're going to go and look at these. We drove out to the village. We saw the house. Jerry liked it and we bought it. We didn't really plan. We were quite spontaneous, really.
And did you buy it to live in it? Did you buy it to develop a business?
No. We bought it to live in. All
and this
honesty,
is in what year?
2002. We bought it to come out here, live a simple country life. And then we bought, because it had been split up, so the barns were actually part of the original estate, but were being sold separately. So shortly after buying the manor, suddenly all of these huge buildings, which were derelict, came up for sale. And we decided at that point to buy those, not with any plan, really. And that's when we started to renovate it with my father. And we were interested in the architecture of the building as it was a hobby for my dad to do. It also reunited the estate.
And meanwhile, you were living in the manor house.
So we were living in the manor house. I mean, that in itself was quite a big project. We did move in and I can remember coming up to see it and there were several people bidding for it. So we had to move quite quickly. But I thought we'd better look at the roof. So I went crawling round the roof with the people that were showing me around and could see sunlight. And I thought, I don't know, this doesn't look quite right. And I phoned my dad and I said, I think we need a survey on the roof. And he said, don't bother with a survey. Save your money for mend the roof. So that's what we did. And actually, the first night we moved in, Tom woke up with rain coming in onto his bed.
So you moved into the house. Mm. Talk to us about the evolution of time.
So the evolution of time really came in that the last building, we restored some cottages, we did stables, we did some offices, and then we did the tithe barn is the most listed building there. And we didn't want to split the space and I wanted to do a business that...
You knew this was a business at this point.
The whole point was to make these buildings work. And that has always been the challenge, is to try their working buildings. They did have planning permission to turn them into houses, but we wanted to make them work with the land. And
so you wanted them to be working buildings. At what point did you say, right, we're going to open a hotel? That's what came first, isn't it?
Well, it isn't actually. I mean, what came first was the cookery school. So in that building, we did a cookery school. And then what happened is that businesses wanted to come down from London and spend the day in the cookery school, have a meeting. So we thought, oh, maybe we have some more rooms because we only had about seven rooms.
So it was a cookery school with rooms, but it wasn't a hotel.
Cottages, no. And we had also bought the village pub at this time.
And what was the village pub when you bought it? Because the village pub is lovely.
The village pub is fabulous. I mean, it was a difficult building. All of the buildings here are very listed. So that's the first thing. And actually, all of these buildings were completely derelict. The pub needed a lot of, you know, investment to make it actually work properly because nobody spent any money on it for a long time.
So you acquired the pub, you had the cookery school, you had seven rooms.
We had some cottages which people could stay in to do the cookery classes. But we did find that bigger groups wanted to come down. And so that's when we started to add rooms. And as we added rooms, we first bought the farmhouse. I wanted to then let rooms individually rather than just let it out to groups. Because all the way from the beginning, we'd wanted to have a heart and soul. I wanted to have integrity. I wanted it to be educational. I wanted it to be fun as well. I didn't just want it to be event space. So if you let a big house in the country, nothing wrong with it. People come and have a lovely time, but they're not interested in anything other than having a party, really. Whereas I wanted it to be much more than that. I had more ambition for it. And we started to do individual rooms. And to be honest, there is a sort of sweet spot number of rooms that you have to have to make it economically viable. And always these estates were the centre of life. I mean, people had their work there. That's the centre of the community. And it provided jobs. And, you know, so often villages lose their focus and everybody is living and commuting and, you know, on holiday cottages. Again, nothing wrong with that. But you know, people coming out for the weekend from London. So, I mean, we employ, you know, nearly 100 people now. And hopefully also it's a business that is constructive, you know, to the environment we're in. That's the challenge, actually.
And going back a bit, how did you come up with the name Time, the branding? I know you're very talented artistically, but where did that come from? Because it feels like there's a really clear aesthetic that runs through everything, from the paint colours to the all the literature around.
Yeah. It has evolved organically, that really, and it's took a while to actually get to exactly where we are now. And we actually started being Thyme at Southrop, and I can remember thinking we're just going to be Thyme, and it's a culinary herb, so that's nice, and that worked well with the cookery school. But also it was about taking time, about sort of slightly slowing down, about also slow food was something that's important. And so that's really where the name came from, and we've sort of grown into it, I think.
Did you ever have dreams of becoming a hotelier?
No, not really. In fact, I would have been scared of that, I think. But what I've done here is me. I love entertaining. I love food. I like a good time. But I also love the countryside. I love the environment and I love nature. And I think it is quite a special place. And actually, we had all of this opportunity here, which didn't actually detract from, you know, we have our own separate space here. We can live here without this impinging on that. So I suppose it's been a privilege to be able to do your dream. And that is what it is, really.
And how did you get people here in the early days? I mean,
with difficulty. I mean, we live in an area where, you know, there are quite a lot of celebrities. So we certainly had, certainly with the pub, you know, Kate Moss was somebody that would come a lot. And we used to get a lot of publicity from that. And I think we were good at what we did, actually. Mm. I mean, I think the Swan has been a really good country pub for a long time. We've owned it since 2005. So I think its reputation grew because of that as well. And I think it is something that has grown organically. So I didn't have the ultimate vision that I have now. But when we started out, I wouldn't have been quite as brave as we've ended up with something that is quite something, I think.
And did you have anyone in the industry that you turned to for advice? Or have you literally gone with your gut?
Well, I mean, I've learned through making mistakes. I have not really looked at anyone else in the industry, actually partly because I didn't have the ambition of owning a hotel. It isn't what I've done. I've wanted to do something that really probably wasn't a hotel. It was more a way of living.
And were there other hotels that you looked at the time? I mean, the UK country hotel scene has just taken off in recent years. Did you see a gap in the market? I mean, there was less competition than there is now.
No, I didn't look at other hotels. And I did think that we've led possibly in doing things in a slightly different way.
What is it you think that you do that's different to the others? Have you consciously gone, we're going to feel more like a home? Or
I think it is exactly. It feels more like a home. It's an extension of our home. And it's very much also a family business.
Was there a moment in the early days when you thought, wow, this is going to take off? You know, was there press that you got or reviews that you got that really sort of gave you this excitement that you were onto something big?
I always thought that it had got lots of potential, and I've always had a big ambition for it. I think the journey has been hard, and I think often many entrepreneurs will say, you know, it's through naivety you do these things, because it's much more difficult than you think it's going to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But as you get bigger and your team gets better and you can afford to employ better people, it becomes easier, I think.
And have there been pivotal moments throughout the lifetime of time?
I think there have, but I think what I have learned is that you have to do, it's baby steps. You've got to tick one box before you can move on to the next one. You can't run before you can walk. That's what I would say.
What is it like with such, I mean, there are lots of service businesses, but whoa, I mean, running a hotel, dealing with very demanding customers yeah. who are spending £300 a night. I think lots of people have the dream, don't they, of, oh, I'm going to move to the country, I've got great taste, and I'm going to buy a property and turn yeah. it into a B&B or a hotel or whatever it is.
And it is really hard, and it's much more difficult than you think it's going to be. Do you know what? I do think it comes through as you build a reputation, and I think you need to make sure that what you deliver is what you say you're going to, so you don't build expectation and then fail to deliver. I think having a passionate team, I would say that we've got a diverse offering here because there's lots of different parts to the business. I mean, we are not just the hotel. We have got the farm, we have got the gardens, we've got the cookery school. So all of those parts all need to start sort of talking to each other, and the sum of all of the parts make it more mm-hmm. exciting, I think, and more interesting.
Going back to customers and dealing with customers, is there anything in the early days when you thought, that's what we've got to offer our customers, that's what they're going to want from us, that's how we're going to be different?
I think it is come back to this home and personal touches and detail.
Like the honesty bars. I mean, I love that you've got a few honesty bars scattered around. Makes you feel like you're staying, you know, amongst very safe,
yes, I think
friendly
people. I think it is about a homely environment. And, you know, we do little things like that people have a little tipple before they go to bed in their bedroom, which is always a surprise when you come back to the room
do
after
you? So
your
there's
dinner.
A little, there's a little
tipple of, you know, a liqueur or something that we've made from
some nice
fruit
touch.
And then we always put hot water bottles in the bed in winter, and they're little things.
Do
that
you?
Just,
I love that.
Yeah.
What are other little touches that you do that you think are unique to you?
So we make fudge, we make jam, we make the liqueurs that go in the bedrooms. And I think we have a very lovely front of house team that are very passionate about it, and they're very proud of it. And I think that comes through.
When you first opened in the early days, when it was just a cookery school with rooms, and then in the early days of a hotel, what was your role at that stage?
Jack of all trades. So I can turn my hand to most things. So from making the beds.
You've made the beds, have you?
I've definitely made the beds now and again. Try very hard not to nowadays. But yeah.
Quite right.
Yeah.
And how do you deal with things when they go wrong?
Well, actually, I think it's my medical training. I am very calm in a drama and take time to think about what the right thing to do is. But touch wood, I think we have, you know, a smooth running ship now. Although there always are things that can go wrong. Actually, with an experienced team, you can smooth it over.
And with your team, what do you expect of them? How do you lead them and inspire them? How do you maintain their loyalty?
Well, I mean, it is extremely important that, you know, everybody that works for you, firstly, feels valued, they're interested and inspired by their work, you give them opportunity. I think also as you grow bigger, you need to have good team leaders within that team. So within all of our departments, we have inspirational team leaders.
Let's talk about the rooms. They're all completely individual.
They are. Everything is very personal here. And I wanted it to be about our love of the land. And so when people came here, everything we did was thoughtful. So I decided that we would name all of the rooms after different herbs. And we had all of those herbs photographed. And then we decorated each room with the colours of the herbs. And I would choose the herb name carefully because not all herbs do nice things to you. So we made sure that we chose ones that were, you know, made you sleep and smelled beautiful. And
well, the rooms certainly do all look pretty beautiful. I'm going to say that you didn't open a restaurant straight away. You've got the Tithe Barn where you used to serve breakfast.
We had the village pub.
Yeah. And so, did you think it was safer to stick with a pub?
Basically, what happened is we took the decision to do individual rooms probably about 5 years ago. And the pub was our restaurant and a very nice one too. And we were also good for sort of lovely birthday parties and things like that. But an opportunity came up about 4 years ago. We wanted to build more rooms. We'd applied for planning permission, and the Big Ox Barn restaurant was, we did have horses in it, and we made the decision that we would have a restaurant site and convert that building.
And what a triumph. It's magnificent.
It is. Thank you. I mean, it surprised us all. It is just truly a magical space. But the beautiful lodge next door, the Georgian rectory in the village, came up for sale. And it was, you know, all of these places, they were all meant really to work together. And we looked around and we couldn't believe it, really. It was an opportunity that it was the sort of full stop, really, or the missing piece of the jigsaw, because it linked the Swan in and it gave us, you know, enough rooms to be a proper business and to be bold enough to open that restaurant. And the great thing that the Ox Barn does is it gives the opportunity for, always before you've either had to book on a cookery class or come and stay, to be able to come. But with the Ox Barn this summer, you know, you will be able to just come, have lunch,
enjoy,
do a little bit of shopping, because shopping is the next thing on our list. So we're opening really exciting retail is coming this summer. So it'll be somewhere where you can come and visit for the day as well, just not stay.
Dalesford, look out. So let's talk about the spa. Yep. That's pretty new as well. Why the spa? Is that something your customers were asking for? Do you feel to be a successful country hotel, you've got to have a spa offering?
I think so. I mean, people absolutely do love a spa. And the lodge had this lovely cottage and a swimming pool, which was simply perfect for the spa. And, you know, we wanted people to be able to come here, and when they come here, stay here. So we have the restaurants now, we have the spa, and they can go for walks, they can go for bicycle rides, they can play tennis, they can do yoga, they can swim.
You've got to be able to fit a massage in that day, haven't you?
You have.
I mean, when you look at how beautiful it is, it wouldn't be complete without a spa.
No.
How have you funded all this growth? I mean, you've got the most incredible mineral water pool and this magnificent restaurant, the spa. Is it self-funded? Have you taken investment?
It is self-funded, yes. We've had to look carefully at the business plan and make sure that it is going to work properly and a sensible investment. And it is a family investment and a family business.
And it is. Your son is head chef.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Said your daughter's recently joined the business.
Yep.
Third child coming soon?
Well, the middle child at the moment is still in the city, but I'm sure there might be something that we can think
there
of for him to do in the future. But at the moment, Charlie is my oldest. He is their head chef and has opened the Ox Barn. So he's brought up a team of chefs from London that he's been working with in London. So we've got a really young and fabulous team in there. And actually, it was a friend of my daughter's who's come in to head at the front of house in the Ox Barn. And again, we've got a lovely team there. And Charlie has really led the way with the Ox Barn food, and that's his department. So
I asked him what it was like working for his mother. He gave you the thumbs up.
Did he?
He did. For people listening who might have dreams of running this kind of business, what are the most profitable bits of the business? Are there bits that you would say, you've got to be doing this, you've got to be doing that?
Well, I think I can remember at some point, you know, because we opened the cookery school, somebody saying to me, Karen, you really should have a business plan. And I think you have to have a business plan. You have to understand where your money is going to come from. And within this business, the thing that really drives the business is the rooms. So having enough rooms and getting your revenue from the rooms allows you to do the other things. The spa as well, to an extent. But actually filling the rooms is key.
And you've got 26 with five more on the way.
Yeah, we have. Exactly.
And talking about the corporate offering, because you've got some amazing spaces here for, I'm thinking, away days and also weddings. You know, how important are those two things? Because I would imagine they're money makers.
They are, and they're very important for midweek business. I mean, the one thing that I wanted to make sure we weren't is something that is thought of as a corporate venue of any sort, or a venue of any sort, actually, really.
A very special treat.
Yeah, exactly. But we do a lot of business work in the week, and those are, you know, companies that want to come out for a sort of board meetings. We have lovely meeting space. People tend to want quite informal, often soft seating. They want to actually go for nice walks, go for a cycle, do a cookery class. We can also offer, because we've got the various different spaces that you can eat as well. If people stay for several days, you know, they can do something different every evening, which is also nice.
Talking about weddings, because I've heard other people in the hotel game say, you know, you do not want to become a one-trick pony and just have wedding after wedding after wedding, because, you know, your other guests get pretty cheesed off and tiptoeing around weddings.
Absolutely.
How do you get the balance right?
To be honest with you, I made a decision some time ago that we were not a wedding venue. And we do some weddings, but we do smaller weddings that don't completely dominate the space. I really want people that are coming to stay to want to be here because of all of the lovely little things we do. So I think the important thing for me about time as well is our real love of the land and of nature. And when you come here and stay, I really want you to feel close to the seasons, close to the farm. So we've got a very exciting summer program of all focused around what we do here. So like working with the florist, going down to the cutting garden, learning about cutting garden, learning how to do hand-tied bouquets of flowers. Flowers are seasonal. They've been picked from the farm.
And does that draw people in? Does that program of events, does that really make a difference?
Well, I think what it does is it gives things for people to do while they're here that are interesting and engaging. I mean, we've grown vegetables here since the beginning. So we've had a good vegetable garden for a long time. And lots of hotels have vegetable gardens, but we have had a vegetable garden right from the start because people really are interested and it's an opportunity to go down. You know, the restaurant, we do supply the restaurant so that the food that you're going to eat has really been picked by the chefs that day in the gardens. The vegetables are as fresh can be, and it does taste differently. Mm. And you can go down and meet the people that have grown it. It is really about our love of the land that makes a difference. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It feels like you've thought of everything. Cookery school, spa, pub. I mean, what else is to come? You said retail. Yeah. I'm hoping that bath and body is in the pipeline.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we've talked about Charlie joining the business, but actually our youngest has also just joined the business to help sort of drive the retail forward. So
is this own brand?
It is going to be own brand. It's very much, you know, time is something that incorporates everything. It is about the land, about the garden, about food, about fashion, about the spa. So we are doing tabletop. And I don't know if you've seen, but I started to draw a little bit. And when
I
we were looking...
seen a few things.
Yeah. So when we were looking to how we were going to brand the menus and things in the Ox Barn, my son said, "Mummy, I want to use your drawings." So I said, "Well, no, I don't think they're good enough." But anyway, he pinched a few of them and took them down to London and experimented with them and bought them back. And one or two people working here said, "We really should use them." And actually, that is what we've done. All our branding is now my drawings. And we've also started to make patterns with those. So when
I've seen some lampshades.
Yeah, lampshades. We've got tablecloths, napkins, fashion.
It's all coming.
Yeah, and it's all exciting. Yeah.
And can you sort of believe where you are now from let's move out of London and buy a home to, you know, running this dreamy hotel and creating this lifestyle brand? If you knew what you knew now,
I think I would definitely do it again. I hope we'd get here a little bit quicker because I would have learned about what not to do, which is just as important.
But, and for people listening, what shouldn't they do?
They should have a business plan. I think that's the first thing they should do. Yeah.
But going back to my question, you must look around and...
No, I mean, I think we have a fabulous platform on which we can now build, which I'm really looking forward to. And it is absolutely wonderful having the children join because they bring such a huge amount, you know, that
lots of energy.
Well, lots of energy and youth and enthusiasm and all of their friends as well, which is, you know, I feel so lucky to have them all wanting to come here and be with us at the weekends.
Don't take this in the wrong way, but you're not 25.
No.
You know, you've got three grown-up children. Yeah. You bought their property in 2002.
Yeah.
What would you say to women that aren't in their 20s or 30s thinking about embarking on this kind of business and journey?
Well, I think it is tough. And I have said, I mean, it is much harder than you think it's going to be. But I do think now we as a business are at the point when I can hopefully just stand a little bit back from the coalface. You know, I've got a fabulous team and I've got a lovely board that support me as well. And you do need those people around you to support you because often when you're so close to a problem, you can't always see it so clearly as somebody standing back. Mm. I think it is having supporting people around you is important.
That said, it's all come from you. It's come from your gut instinct.
It has.
What do you think it is that you've got that has led to all this?
I think what we've done here is what I like. It is the things that interest me and the things that I love doing and the way I love entertaining. So I've been lucky enough to be able to do that. And moving forward, I think the opportunity always to have had time as a lifestyle brand has been the ambition. And I think now we're in a very exciting place. I think the platform is here for us to do that. And having, as I say, my daughter come and join me on that side is exciting.
Someone said to me yesterday, always do something you're passionate about. It's far more likely to succeed. And clearly you are passionate about everything you've created. Thank you so much, Karen. I'm in awe of time, of the brand, of the hotel, of the spa, of the interiors. It really is.
Thank you.
The dream. Thank you so much. It's been great chatting to you.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. We'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.